the OTV Sports app. Listen to OTV Sports Radio 24/7, plus all your favorite podcasts, including OTV Gold.
Are you a complete rookie?
The OTV Sports app, available to download now from your app store. The OTV Podcast Network with Virgin Media. Catch all of the UEFA Champions League and Europa League games live on Virgin Media TV.
OTB AM. This is OTB Sports Radio.
We're on air tonight from 7 o'clock for Slovakia against the Republic of Ireland. Live commentary of Ireland's playoff with Nathan Murphy and Stewie Byrne on commentary duty for that one. And we also have Ireland against Wales on Sunday. Coverage starts at 1 on Off the Ball on News Talk. Nathan Murphy and Stewie Byrne will bring you the match from 2 o'clock there. And as I've said, we'd love to hear from you this morning. What team do you want to see Ireland play with tonight? And ultimately, how much do you care about the quality of the performance? This is do or die. It's knockout football. It's big time cup and it's under the lights. Vinnie Perth is with us. I'll tell you what's coming up a little bit later on. We've got Ryan McMenamin. We've got Breed Stack talking about her move to Australia. And we're going to talk about the game in more detail with Phil and Nathan. But Vinnie Perth, good morning to you. How are you getting on?
Morning. How are we doing this morning?
Everybody's a little bit anxious, I think, Vinny. This is very early on in Stephen Kenny's managerial career, but this is the big time.
It is. It's big time football. We obviously have the last two games, and there was a lot of questions after them. But this is what matters. Two big games to qualify for the Euros, and they're both away as well. So really difficult start. But the mood out of camp seems very positive from what we're hearing. So. Touch wood, things go our way tonight.
We've seen loads of different teams deal with football coming back after the lockdown in different ways. Ireland looked a little bit lackluster in those first two games. Players who you would trust to be at it just weren't at it. And in the meantime, they've gone back and they've had this kind of elixir of regular football. They've started to play well at club level. What kind of difference do you think that's going to make to what we should expect from them and what they expect from themselves tonight?
I think it's completely different now. I think there was a complete another lack of fitness, and not people outside will say how are these full time athletes not fit, but it's there's a sharpness. It's completely different. There was a change of style as well in what the players were being asked to do. So all of them things sort of came together. And look, there were some questions that came out. But, do Ireland look like they don't have a number 10 at the moment? So it's funny, we had someone like Wes Houlihan for many years and we never played a style that really suited him. So I understood why he wasn't in the team too much. But now that we play that style, we're crying out for a sort of number 10 in that position. So all of these things, players have gone back to their clubs and got games. There's been a couple of things like Matt Doherty was left out the other day or Egan got suspended, but by and large a lot of our players or the first team players got games at a really high level. So I think Ireland are going into this and the players will be going into it really confident. The sound bites from them is really confident. When you hear, I think it was O'Dowda, Robinson, Doherty all done interviews this week, and it was really remarkable how buoyant they seem as a group.
Yeah, I mean, for Robinson, he must be feeling great about life. In the Premier League, on merit, at a club who really want him there, who have trusted him to play through the middle. Talk to us a little bit about the absence of a number 10, will you? What impact does that have, and is that important in terms of what Stephen Kenny's actually trying to do?
Albeit I do speak to Stephen, I haven't spoken to him too much around the team or almost nothing over the last number of weeks. The conversation we had was more about how family we were, that because we were so close for so long. I haven't seen a lot in 7 months. I don't think I've met him in person, so because of COVID, etc. So I don't have an insight other than what I see with my own eyes and knowing him as a person for so long. But the number 10 position, when you play, like, if you remember in the two games, we played 4-3-3 and it was a very high front three of Connolly, Ida and O'Dowda or Robinson. And that left us a little bit exposed in midfield. And I would imagine if Stephen had his way, he would like a number 10 in that position but play sort of 4-2-3-1 type of a shape. We don't have a number 10, so the number 10 is the player that makes you play. He's the one that links things together. He's the one that gets close to the striker at times and occupies the opposition number six, because the way the game is played now, so many teams play through a number six and they like this passing style. So your number 10, modern day number 10, has to do a lot of work for the team. So when we look at Ireland, you think, who can do that job? And there isn't loads of standout candidates. I suppose Robbie Brady looks like he could do it if they wanted. Hendrick could do it. He does it. That's probably his natural game. How good both of them are in the 10, I'm not too sure. I even seen Nottingham Forest play a couple of weeks ago and Harry Arthur played in that position. But we don't have that flair player who's going to be a brilliant number 10. So that's the sort of conundrum that they're left with. I'm sure the staff would have come away from them first two games going, there's issues we've got to fix. It wasn't all just down to fitness and sharpness. We looked very, very open, particularly with the two fullbacks we have. We want to get them on, and that should be encouraged. But it does leave a certain amount of holes behind you in the transition. So the 10 is crucial, but the what comes behind it at that midfield, people will say teams play 4-3-3. But there is subtle difference between 4-2-3-1 and 4-3-3, and they can leave you very open. So, and we don't have a huge amount of time to fix that in this camp. But at the same time, it has to be fixed. I think the midfield battle tonight is crucial. It's crucial. I think their best player, Hamsik, plays in midfield in that sort of 10 position. So we've got to be careful. And I'm sure they've done a lot of work around that.
It's interesting that you're bringing up the number 10, because definitely it seemed in the first game under Stephen Kenny that if anything we were lacking a bit at the other end of midfield, that James McCarthy on his own perhaps was a little bit exposed. So is there a way that we can turn the lack of number 10 into a positive at the other end of the midfield, or do you actually see it the other way entirely, that the 10 would help out defensively?
And I suppose, yeah, we were open and that's a fair point. But again, it's about getting that balance right in midfield. So that's why I'm saying modern day number 10 would do a huge amount of running. So Ireland are going to press. They can press with their front three, and that's suited at times if you play against a back three. But we did press and we created a few chances in the games from our press. So your front three can press, but your number 10 ultimately in his job is huge in his running power. There's times where if you use an example of instead of numbers, if you use Robbie Brady as a 10, Hendrick as an 8, and James McCarthy as the 6, which he could go with, there's times where Hendrick will go and have a shot or will join in on an attack. And every so often, someone like Robbie Brady's going to have to make a recovery run for him. And that's why it's not necessarily a centre forward in the old tech. Sharing them role that people use them. It has to be someone who's going to be disciplined. And again, it goes back to what I said, and you make the point, the transition from attack to defence is so crucial at the highest level that if you're not structurally set up correctly, then you will get punished. So it is important that balance is found. So listen, I think McCarthy is an outstanding footballer. I think he has got what it takes to play as Ireland's number six. He's probably our best option. I'll put it that way, and them sort of games he's got in the Premiership will definitely stand to him. I think we'll get a much improved performance from him tonight, but he's going to need a hand with him. And like I said, you'd probably need a tactics board for, but if you're going to get your two fullbacks high, almost, if you think about it, their starting position at times is level with McCarthy, then you need somebody probably a little bit closer to him. And that's why I feel a 10 would be important to this team if they're going to play that way.
Can I just talk about McCarthy then? Because the best game he's played for Ireland, everybody always goes back to the Germany game, and the best games that he plays for Crystal Palace is with somebody alongside him as well. And it is a two-man old-school midfield where he's got a partner in crime effectively doing a similar job to him. And traditionally, 4-2-3-1 wouldn't be like that. So it's two sixes as opposed to a six and an eight.
Yeah.
Could you ever see Ireland playing like that?
Yeah, I think that probably suits us because, again, I mean, when you look at our players, I don't know if it's going to happen tonight, but when you look at our players, you could argue that a lot of our players are suited to a back three or two wing backs, have already gone forward and the Stevens. But Yeah, I think Ireland could play with a 4-2-3-1 shape. I think that probably suits our players best. Somebody alongside McCarthy. You may look at tonight, and I know nothing other than sort of my own mindset. You might find that someone like Robbie Brady starts, and may start, say, on the right wing, for argument's sake, and comes in a little bit narrow. That's something they could look at tonight, particularly being away from home. So you have to find that balance, and you need, no doubt James McCarthy has played with MacArthur in Palace, if I'm right, and he plays his best football in that sort of system. But you can't be all out attack in midfield unless you're going to hold on to one of your fullbacks. So even if you go back, even if you look at a club like, say, Man City, all out attack, you'll often see Kyle Walker come into that midfield position when they're attacking down the opposite side, just to give that sort of balance and a little bit of cover. And while Ireland want to be, I think they'll be brave tonight and they'll have a go, you also have to keep the door closed. And it's really difficult to find that balance. And it's not about systems, it's about the players you have. And they would have learned a huge amount from the first two games.
That's really interesting, Vinny, because we've had conversations with Dan and Johnny, and obviously Dan would have watched every single Dundalk game over the years, and would have kind of, the conversation would have gone, so could you see him playing three at the back? And they're like, no, I don't think so. Like, certainly that there's no real evidence that has been in the makeup in the past. And I don't want to misquote either of the lads, so if I have, I'm apologising in advance. But the sense was that, like, Stephen likes to play a particular style and system. It's interesting to hear you say that actually it's far more important that the players are there. Could you see a scenario where we do have three at the back? Because it looks like we're designed perfectly for that.
Yeah, of course I can. And when the manager gets time, he'll find a scenario. I think, again, like, I don't want to equate Dundalk to Ireland in any way, shape or form, but when we were at our best, whether it was O'Donnell, Tell, Finn or McElhenney in the number 10 position, our midfield was always 1-1 and a 1. And we had two fullbacks, Sean Gannon and Dane Massey, who just raided. And that's the way Stephen liked to play. But, I mean, if we didn't have fullbacks who liked to raid, or, you know, we didn't have that midfield, we would have came out with different scenarios. It's a bit like people saying Stephen was very attack-minded all the time. But we went to places like Zenit, St. Petersburg or AZ Alkmaar, and we're quite pragmatic at times and let them have it. Like, by and large, he's an attack-minded coach 90-odd percent of the time. But there's times where, like any good coach, he'll adapt his system. He'll change his style of play. And I wouldn't be shocked to see Ireland playing three at any stage over the next couple of months. But unfortunately, because of the way the games have come, there's no friendlies. It's just straight into competitive games. And you have to do what you have to do. I don't think there's time this week, for argument's sake, to work on a 3-5-2. I'm not saying they haven't done it, but I don't think there's time, for argument's sake, to work on it this week. So it's really, I don't doubt he has, particularly himself and all them staff, they have the way about them to find the best system that suits Ireland going forward. At the moment, I think it has to be somewhere between a 4-2-3-1 and a 4-3-3. Until we get a little bit of time to work with stuff from players.
It definitely feels, listening to you, Vinny, that you see Robbie Brady as a potential starter in this Ireland team. Fitness may preclude him from starting tonight, but it definitely seems that the way you talk about that midfield, as well as that option on the right of a front three, that midfield looks like you could get the best out of itself with Robbie Brady in there.
Yeah, I do. I think it's a rib injury he has. So if I keep them out, the hands may be tied in the sense of it could be an out-and-out front three. So, you know, I wouldn't be surprised to see, and again, it's just a good feeling, for argument's sake, off the left, Callum Robinson, McGoldrick up front with Aaron Connolly, and say Robbie Brady, if he was fit, narrow off the right, with Hendrick and McCarthy behind him. So that gives you a bit of the number 10, because if you look at McGoldrick's game, he's not now centre forward who's going to lead the line. He's someone who drops into different positions. Seen him in left full position in the last game, for argument's sake, while Ireland were chasing it. And that's not a criticism. That's just his style. That's the way he plays. So we need an centre forward. We need to score a goal tonight. A couple of goals probably. So I wouldn't be surprised to see something like that if Brady was fit. A slight change in the system, but nothing over drastic. Hendrick and McCarthy as the two sitters. Can we bring someone like Malumbi into the team? I'm not sure. He hasn't played a huge amount of football. He did play the other day, but came off early. Not early, but came off in the second half. So again, it's about who's fit. We don't know the inner workings of the squad, but they've got to come up with something, someone who's going to get goals. And I also look at someone like Long, who hasn't really featured in the first two games, and I think his pace in behind could hurt him. So there's a couple of decisions to be made. Ironically, it's probably good in one sense. Coleman's not there, even though personally I probably would have started him. His form has been exceptional, but it's probably good that noise has gone away of Coleman, Doherty. And they can just focus on the team. But there's big decisions to be made in Ireland's midfield tonight, huge decisions, because they're quite strong, I think, in there. If they get going, they're normally a possession-based team. They would normally, against Wales, I watched the Wales game a couple of weeks ago, just for some knowledge, over there in the qualifying campaign, and it's 67% possession. They went to Israel a couple of weeks ago and 67% possession. That's quite high. Israel a good side and drew one also. But there's no doubt that what they're lacking, the two players, particularly their number six out of their team in the centre half, this is a real opportunity for them. And once they get the balance right in midfield, I think we have the players capable of going and having a good result.
All right, Finney, that was brilliant analysis. Thanks a million for explaining all that to us. Great to have you with us.
Thanks very much.
OTB AM. This is OTB Sports Radio.
We've been talking a good bit about James McCarthy this morning. We had a brilliant conversation with Vinnie Perth a little bit earlier on. We may as well pick this up now. Phil Egan is with us in studio. Nathan is with us as well. Good morning to you both. Nathan on commentary duty for us tonight alongside Stewie Byrne. Phil, where do you stand on the James McCarthy issue? Is it his fault? Is it the system? Is it a little bit of both?
I think it's a little bit of both. But actually, thinking back to James McCarthy's best performances for Ireland, there was that time where himself and Glenn Whelan were in the team together, but actually McCarthy's best performances were without Glenn Whelan, where he was the main man at the base of that midfield, breaking things up. But yeah, sometimes we do look at what he's not doing rather than what he does do. That because some players that play in that in the base of midfield spray passes left to right, that James McCarthy's not doing that, or he's not coming demanding the ball on the half turn looking to pick out passes. That he's more of a player that breaks things down. So that's what he's going to have to do tonight. And it'll be interesting to see who Stephen Kenny puts in there with him. I think we're all pretty much expecting that Jeff Hendrick gets the nod, whether it's Conor Hourihan or Robbie Brady. I think something that Stephen Kenny obviously has to think about tonight as well is what team he wants on the pitch to finish the game. He's got five substitutes. That's something that not many managers get afforded, because obviously this is just something that has come into the game with COVID-19, that he has the option. So maybe that's why he might go for someone like Hourihan to start, because he thinks Brady could offer something more coming off the bench. He might make more of an impact. But going back to James McCarthy, I think I'm surprised. I wasn't sure we'd ever see him in an Ireland jersey again, given his injury history. Obviously got back into the Crystal Palace team. He's now keeping Luka Milivojevic out of the Palace team. So you've got McCarthy and MacArthur that play in a two, which suits McCarthy's game a bit more. So there's going to be a lot of pressure on him. And my slight concern is the back four, which we know what the back four is going to be, but three of that back four are used to playing in a five. And playing as a fullback, or Matt Doherty and Enda Stevens, and a wing back, two completely different positions. Like I always played as a fullback, but there was a few games where I got to play as a wing back. So much more enjoyable. It takes away a lot of the defensive responsibility.
Well, that's how about you, Phil. You're like, nah, that defending's for somebody else.
Well, no, because what would happen is if you were a right full, the the centre halves were talking to you to basically cover them,
bossing you. Yeah.
Whereas if you're the wing back, okay, you still have to get back. But
well,
the
you
main
playing somebody else if something bad happens.
Yeah. Well, say for example, John Egan plays in a three at Sheffield United. So usually, obviously, he has Basham and O'Connell on either side now. Obviously, they've had injuries, but they're the players that are going to cover if he's out of position. Whereas if he's got Shane Duffy beside him and Stevens and Doherty are bombing on, then he has less cover. So that's my slight concern, that Duffy's the only one that really plays in an orthodox back four. Obviously, Doherty has joined Spurs, but he's had so little amount of game time that it's, you know, he hasn't really adapted to it yet. So, we've talked about, would Stephen Kenny ever play a five at the back? It seems like
Finny Pert said he would this morning. That was really interesting. So we had a brilliant chat with him. If people haven't heard this yet, go back and check out Vinnie Perth talking to us a little bit earlier on. We put the podcast up separately on the football show stream, so OTB Football. He was saying that absolutely, that having worked with Stephen Kenny is not somebody who will only do the one thing ever, that it's about the players available to him. They played that particular style at Dundalk because of the players that they had available to him. They had a list of number 10s over the years that would allow the team to play with the midfield structure and the back four that they had, asking the fullbacks to bomb on because you had responsible central midfielders. If the Ireland team don't have that, given time to bed in and an opportunity to practice, then we should expect at some point that we will at least try three centre-backs, five at the back.
No, it ticks so many boxes in terms of, it gets Doherty and Coleman into the team. This is providing everybody's fit. It then solves the problem of Aaron Connolly and David McGoldrick because both can play down the centre, and it gives you a bit more protection midfield. But yeah, this is the problem Stephen Kenny has, that he would have presumed he was taken over in September and he was going to use the Nations League to fine-tune things before a World Cup qualification campaign. But now he has the pressure of this game, where Irish fans are not going to be that forgiving if things don't go well tonight. But Stephen Kenny, it's such fine margins. If Ireland were to win tonight and then finish the job off against Bosnia or Northern Ireland, then Stephen Kenny may never look back. It could just take off, and you know, we could be talking in 2 years about how this Slovakia game was the turning point, and even though it's only his third game.
Nathan, the issue of the number 10 and the midfield, like, it was a really interesting conversation we had earlier, because all of a sudden you're thinking, actually, I can completely see why he's picking Robbie Brady in the team, and also how suddenly McGoldrick fixes the Aaron Connolly issue. If you want to play Aaron Connolly through the middle, you can do that, and then he's your number 9 essentially. Okay, slightly left leaning, but you're a bit like the manager. Your number 10 is David McGoldrick, and that's a perfect role for him.
Yeah, I wouldn't be surprised at all if it was those two as the 9 and 10 tonight. I'm not sure Robbie Brady will play, simply because I'd imagine Stephen Kenny's learned his lesson from the last two games, where you need everybody fully fit. And Robbie Brady's played, less than a half of football in the Premier League since the restart. He's had another little niggle. But I would have thought, all going well, both Brady and Hendrick would be certainties to start because of their own relationship, because of the positions they can fill and the energy they bring to the side. So the big decision he faces tonight is, does he stick with the 4-3-3 that, by and large, didn't work, you'd have to say, against Bulgaria and Finland, or does he revert to a 4-2-3-1? That is the big tactical decision that he's going to have to decide on tonight. The huge benefit to the latter is obviously that it gets somebody in alongside James McCarthy. And the problem was twofold, probably, in Bulgaria for McCarthy. Firstly, the players weren't fit. Callum Robinson said on Monday he was probably at 75% going into those games. So there'll be a different type of energy to the performance for starters, and then you throw in the importance of it. But also, and the concern I would have if they're going with a three again, is just the lack of structure and the lack of time they've had on the training pitch together. They barely had a session this week. Almost a dozen of these players played on Sunday. They came in, did a light run around, did a chat, did a tactical session. But they haven't spent time as a three, if it was, say, his preferred three of Hendrick, Howerhan and McCarthy. They haven't spent a week on the training pitch, been drilled into them. And that's what it looked like in Bulgaria. You could tell he wanted McCarthy to be the fulcrum of everything. Get on the ball as often as you can. But Shane Duffy wasn't sure when to give it to him. He was picking it up at times when he shouldn't have. When he did get it, he's looking around. There's nobody within 10, 15 yards of him. These are all the things you need if you're playing that sort of midfield three. You need a whole lot of energy and people to be close together. And I think that comes from organisation. You look at the best teams that play with three in the middle. The obvious one would be Liverpool right now. it's all energy. Fabinho sits at the base, which is exactly what he would like James McCarthy, I'm sure, to do. Raises the question, does he have the energy to get across and cover the full backs like Fabinho does so brilliantly, generally? Maybe not so much the other night, but generally covers Alexander-Arnold and Robertson, and particularly that game against Arsenal when you watched him. He's across. Does James McCarthy have the defensive know-how to do that? Does he have the legs right now to do it? So that's a reason for putting somebody in. To be honest, I don't know what he's going to do. And I'd imagine he made a decision quite quickly after the last two games, but we haven't seen, it's been a very strange week. Like, we haven't really seen the players at all because they came in, did one light session, and then they were gone on Tuesday. So it does feel as though the 4-2-3-1 would be the wiser one. The lack of Arthur, Malumbi not playing game time probably isn't ideal, so it does mean it's either Howarth or Hendrick in there alongside him. But I would be concerned just going in with... I think Hendrick plays, no matter what. Hendrick will 100% start this game. So
sorry, I thought you meant it as they both play and one goes beside James McCarthy. Who would you be picking as James McCarthy's partner in the two there?
I would go along with Vinny in some ways, with Hendrick alongside McCarthy. It just feels then you're looking at an incredibly attacking and exciting front four of McGoldrick behind Connolly, probably Robinson on one side, and then is Callum O'Dowd a fit? I'm not quite sure. Unless you go with Adamida through the middle, Dave McGoldrick behind, Connolly on the left, Robinson on the right.
No. That's where he starts Robbie Brady. You've got five subs. Robbie Brady's not match fit. You give him an injection in the ribs. It's a pain tolerance thing. And he plays 45 minutes and sees how he goes, and he gets 50, 55 minutes. And then you bring on somebody. And at that stage, if you're 1-0 up, you probably bring on James McLean. If you're 1-0 down, you bring on O'Dowda.
Possibly. Now, O'Dowda hasn't played any football, so he may suffer for that. And maybe that's what you do. And listen, Robbie Brady, we saw in the game against Finland, he cares too much. Like, he was running around like a headless chicken in that game for large parts, trying to make an impression, trying to do the right thing. He did some brilliant things. He provided a bit of a spark, but also like careless at times, just taking on things that weren't on. So yeah, maybe it is Robinson on the left, Connolly through the middle, McGoldrick just behind, and Brady there. And as you said, Brady sort of tucking in, a good awareness of what Doherty might do up that right-hand side as well. But they just need the cover because, like, there are questions about Doherty defensively. They're there at Tottenham. We saw them play Newcastle with Brian Kerr on commentary when he's in a one-on-one 50-50 with Joe Linton. And Joe Linton wins it. And Doherty sort of throws his eyes to heaven right in front of the technical area. Throws his eyes to heaven, throws his arms in the air, and does this slow jog back. And Mourinho is on the edge of his technical area, 5 feet away from him, blasting him to get back. You get away with that at Wolves because they've got three centre halves. You don't get away with it at Ireland, and you don't get away with it. You don't get away with it at Spurs now either. So, it's very difficult to know what to expect.
Just on that idea of playing like a two up front with a number 10 behind them, does that impact how we might actually be approaching things in the flanks? Though, like, I accept that it was disappointing enough when, in terms of how we saw Matt Doherty link up with Callum O'Dowd or with Callum Robinson on the right flank. Stevens and Aaron Connolly were a bit better, but they weren't amazing either in terms of linking up on that left flank. I accepted the fullbacks have been pushing up and in good positions, but what they've actually been doing in the final third probably hasn't been what we expected. Now, maybe that's just because they're fullbacks rather than wingbacks, but I definitely think there's a bit more cohesion that needs to be found on both of those flanks. And if you go to a front two with a 10 behind them, you're kind of throwing the baby out with the bathwater on that whole plan.
Yeah, and I just don't know if we have, because if you're going with a front two and a number 10 behind,
we're not doing that.
You're going with a three in midfield, which means you're going with, again, Hendrick, Cowherhan and McCarthy, and I don't think the fullbacks can get forward if that's the midfield three.
Can I just explain that? Owen, who do you think would be that front two and a 10?
Well, what Nathan said, it's just, what did you say, Nathan? McGoldrick in the playing behind?
McGoldrick's the 10 in that role.
It'd be a kind of a withdrawal number 9, really, wouldn't it, behind Connolly and McGoldrick? Is that what you're saying? Like, that was just in response to what you said there.
No, I'm saying it's basically a 4-2-3-1. So you'll have, if it's Brady on the right, Robinson on the left, or McLean on the left, and then McGoldrick playing in behind Aaron Connolly.
Or you play Connolly on the left
to play Ida up front. So McGoldrick's your 10, dropping back, as he did brilliantly for Sheffield United against Arsenal at the weekend.
I think actually that like that makes it, certainly the way Vinnie Perth explained it to us, made a lot of sense this morning, I thought.
There's another way, obviously, if you play the 4-3-3 and you've got, say, OK, we've got Connolly on the left and we'll say a Callum on the right, whether it's Callum O'Dowda or Callum Robinson. But McGoldrick obviously likes to drop. So what that does, if you're the Slovakian defence, you got to decide, do you go with them? If you do, that obviously creates space for Connolly and Robinson or O'Dowda to get in behind. But also, if they don't drop, then McGoldrick has a ton of space on the ball and we know he's creative. He can pick a pass. So I kind of like... That's where I think the balance works in the, when you play three in attack, where you, obviously Connolly and Robinson are both playing centrally at the moment with their clubs. So they can drift in and obviously they're the two players I would like to see in the penalty area because they're the two that are firing goals in. I mean, McGoldrick took his goal well the other day against Arsenal. But I think tonight is going to be a massive night for Aaron Connolly. I think... We obviously saw the potential with him at the with the 21s. He was the one that got us really excited. Mick left him on the bench for that game in Tbilisi. He came off and we kind of thought, why wasn't he thrown on earlier? But I think tonight could be the night that he announces himself on the senior stage.
The kiss of death from you and Shane Hannan both saying, Shane Hannan went as far as saying he's going to score tonight. No pressure now.
I still think he's very raw and I've watched a lot of Brighton at the start of the season. Listen, his pace getting in behind causes any amount of problems, and I hope he's given that opportunity. He gets those balls where he can actually put the pressure on and stretch his legs. I just find when he's in that central position for Brighton, his runs quite often, you know, he's jinking this way and that way, and he's not getting involved in the game as much as you want. His hold-up play probably isn't quite where it should be just yet. He is very young, and maybe you need a night like this where you become that superstar and you bring all the confidence. But I think there's too often he's just not impacting the game enough. But he's working with a manager who has a lot of faith in him now, who knows him from 21, who should know how to get the best out of him. And like playing through that middle, he does like to drift out to the left-hand side. You would fear that if that does happen, if he starts drifting to the wings, like, is Dave McGoldrick going to be in the right position? Like, that's something you see with Sheffield United all the time, that McGoldrick drops so deep that if the striker goes out to the wing, there's nobody there. There's too much ground for McGoldrick to catch up. So we do need an attacking threat as well.
But that's why Callum Robinson should be... That's why that's a good trio. Like, if we stick with the 4-3-3, that's actually... You can see how that would work, because when one drops deep, the other is ready to make the run, and there should be some level of understanding from Callum Robinson about how McGoldrick actually plays and what they're looking for. A lot of this is assuming that we're on the ball quite a lot. The other thing that Vinnie Perth said was that Slovakia had 60-odd%, close enough to 70% possession in both their last two games, and that actually there were times when they were with Dundalk that they would go away and they would be pragmatic. So I wouldn't be terribly surprised if this was a Mick McCarthy-esque performance tonight, Phil.
Yeah, but also, I mean, some of that possession, you know, it's sideways passes, and if they obviously don't have their full-strength team tonight, Slovakia, so if they're trying to stick to their game plan and play possession, that does leave them vulnerable for pressing. So, I mean, that front three that we mentioned, the likes of Connolly and Robinson, would obviously give you that energy to put players under pressure. And that's obviously, the higher up the pitch you dispossess them, then obviously you're straight in on goals. So I think Ireland would be quite happy to let Slovakia have the ball in their own half, but there will be certain trigger points when certain balls are played into areas of the pitch where the Ireland players will be expected to press. And that's where the energy that we were missing in those two games in September will be crucial tonight. Matt Doherty obviously did the press conference yesterday, said he was absolutely shattered during those games. So, you know, it's very hard to implement that system, obviously, in such a short space of time, but also basically not being able to go full tilt. So Stephen Kenny can now say to his players, right lads, you're up to fitness, I'm expecting full tilt. And do you know what? If you gas, we've got five substitutes, you got to let me know and I'll replace you with more energy. So it's going to be very important what he does with the bench. And, you know, obviously you have to see how the game plays out, because it's very dangerous to try and hold players back thinking this is how the game might play out. But we don't know, because there is obviously VAR tonight as well, so it's going to just make for a very interesting game. But I'm certainly feeling a lot more confident than I was a few days ago, given the absentees and the Slovakia side.
Yeah, like, I mean, how hard did you celebrate that last night, Nathan?
The news that Škriniar was out in Lavotka. Yeah. Yeah, like I've always been a big fan of Skriniar. I'm surprised he hasn't gone somewhere over the last couple of years. And he is a key to them keeping possession because he's one of the best ball-playing centre-halves around. So it's got to be a boost. Because we're not there and we're not getting a sense of what the attitude on the ground of Slovakia is, like if this was an Irish team that were suddenly been shorn of some of our star players because of COVID, we'd be talking about a backs-to-the-wall job, about the players fighting for their lives, about the opportunity that's there in a playoff. And I'd imagine that's how Slovakia are going to approach this, that it's a one-off tie, it's a cup semi-final, and actually it's a bit of a blood and guts game. And that's what I'm expecting tonight. I'm not really expecting the Stephen Kenny style. Okay, I think it'll be an attempt to get the ball down and do the right thing. But he's had no time. He has had no time. This is a bonus for Stephen Kenny, which I think is how he's approached this since the start of, like, as Phil said right at the start of this, if they can win tonight, if they can somehow qualify, he's flying for the next few years. But if they were to lose, I think people need to realise he hasn't had any time with these players at all to get his message properly across.
Okay. Hang on. You're asking people, not to people. That's what you're asking. You're asking people, not to people. People does be people, Nathan. We all know that.
He's going to get criticism. Of course he is. But I think you need to look at it in terms of the overall style. It was always going to be a bit of a long-term project with signs, even in that first game against Bulgaria, that things were changing. But this is a game of knockout football where he has barely had a session all week with the players. So I think we need to take that into account. And I think we will end up being a little bit probably in the second half of a old-fashioned Irish performance of getting players, fighting for their lives, scrapping it out and trying to get the result.
Shane Duffy is auxiliary number 10.
Don't be surprised. Don't be surprised to see it at all.
I think as well, what you want to see tonight is a team that's proactive and not reactive. And I always felt it under Martin O'Neill, where when we went behind, that's when you started to see it was like, well, where was this energy and where was this pace and urgency at the start of the game? We almost kind of wait for the thing to happen to concede that goal, and then all of a sudden we come to life. So why not start on the front foot? And look, if they have more possession, that's fine. Like, I'm not saying we have to pass them off the park. But also, you mentioned Shane Duffy there. We know the threat he has from set pieces. And just looking at Slovakia, they mark zonally from set pieces. So maybe that is something that, you know, if Shane Duffy gets a run, there's nobody stopping him. So it could be the classic Shane Duffy set piece and a few bits of magic in there from players like Aaron Connolly and Callum Robinson, and we get the win, and I'd be happy enough with that.
Well, I think anybody's going to be happy with any kind of win. If we scratch through on penalties and qualify for the Euros by way of a postponement or a forfeiture in the next game, like, better be a lucky manager than a good manager at this stage of his international career. Talk to me, Phil, though, on the other side of it. If you're Slovakia and you're looking at the Ireland team, what are you saying? The points you were making about them, what points are they making about us, and how are they going to, if they are a team who controls the ball against us tonight and makes us run around chasing our tails?
I think they're looking at space in behind our fullbacks, because as I said at the start, that we've got two fullbacks who are accustomed to going forward, and okay, they come back, but they don't have that massive defensive responsibility. And when you look at Enda Stevens and Matt Doherty play for their clubs, okay, I'm talking more as Doherty now is the Wolves version. Obviously, he has to adapt to life at Spurs. But when they play in that wing-back role, they're pretty much out on the touchline. And, you know, they're in advanced positions. Whereas now, they're going to have to be deeper. They're going to have to be a bit tighter to their centre-halves. So if they have those habits of kind of drifting out wide, then there will be space there. And Slovakia will be looking at somebody as well like James McCarthy, who, you know, is more than capable of passing the ball, but maybe he's not always that comfortable doing it. So if he's getting the ball off Shane Duffy or John Egan and he turns, that is when, if he takes that extra touch,
press,
that's when Slovakia will be looking to hit him. And, you know, if he is caught in possession, then we're in serious trouble, because, you know, they're straight in. And That's certainly one area they'd be looking at. Certain players they will have targeted, where they'll think, you know, they do press. The way they, obviously the group they were in, Croatia and Wales were in their qualifying group for the last campaign, and it was noticeable against Croatia. They didn't press as much because they would have probably respected Croatia a lot more, being a technically better side than the likes of Wales or us. So they will think that they can get at us and they can dispossess us. And yeah, that would be a slight concern for me, where just don't get caught on the ball in midfield. If it has to go out wide, just do it quickly. And I'm sure that's going to be the message from Stephen Kenny.
Nathan, where do you think they'll attack us tonight?
Yeah, I think if we go with three in midfield, they'll definitely look to get at McCarthy. They'll have watched that Bulgaria game and realised, you know, he finds himself quite isolated at times. I think they are going to be trying to shut up shop a little bit here and keep it very, very tight with the players they're missing, with an awful lot of their players not playing much football, with Marek Hamšík over in China and nobody really knowing, it seems, reading little bits about Slovakia over the last few days, that they weren't quite sure what sort of state he was going to be coming back in. So I think they're going to be concentrating a lot on themselves and trying to keep this as tight as possible, making sure they don't, as Phil says, concede from set pieces. But the opportunity will be either McCarthy or the two wingbacks. If they can somehow suck Stevens and Doherty forward. It was the one thing against Bulgaria, as much as there was some bright signs in both games, like these massive gaps that Ireland are pushing plenty of men into the opposition half. So if you sit back, there's just huge opportunities on the counterattack from what we've seen, basing it on two matches, albeit players not fully fit, Nations League games. Like, that's where teams will see the opportunity now, I think, is actually sitting back against Ireland, letting them have a little bit of the ball in and around the halfway line. And then if they lose it, going on the counter as quick as you can. That's what worked for Bulgaria. That's what worked for Finland. They both got countless opportunities through that. So Ireland need to be very, very careful. You can't commit that many men forward if you're not going to keep a hold of the ball.
Dave B. Comments says, I love Vinnie Peart's analysis, very detailed. Ireland win on penos, another the nation holds its breath moment, not COVID related, finally. Out on a
whimper tonight. We haven't had a penalty shootout since 2002.
Can you honestly pick me five penalty takers for Ireland where you would be very confident that they're going to score?
Well, I'm glad you asked, Phil, because I've been doing my penalty research over the last 24 hours.
I didn't know at this
point. Matt Doherty last night said, I've been practicing penalties for the last 2 weeks. Put me in, boss. Yeah. Matt Doherty, from what I can tell, hasn't taken a penalty since 2012 when he scored for Bury against Southend in the second round of the FA Cup. So, but Matt has put himself forward. Shane Duffy was playing for Northern Ireland the last time he scored a penalty. Oof. For the Northern Ireland under-19s in Bosnia 11 years ago. Egan, Stevens and McCarthy never taken a penalty. Conor Howarton used to take them all the time for Barnsley, but he missed his last one in 2016. Jeff Hendrick never taken one. It gets a bit better, though. Dave McGoldrick was Sheffield United's penalty taker in the Championship, but he missed his last one a couple of years ago and never got back on. James McLean and Shane Long both scored penalties the last time we played Slovakia in a friendly. So if they're on the pitch, you'd imagine. Robbie Brady used to take penalties. He obviously scored his last... he scored that goal against France. So you'd imagine if he's on the pitch, he would take one as well. Aaron Connolly never taken one in senior football, but he did score against Slovakia for the Irish under-19s.
Ooh,
I remember Connolly. Didn't Connolly miss a penalty for the under-21s in that Sweden game away from home? Sorry.
So he's taken four. Yeah. He's taken four that I have records of, and he's missed three of them. But the one he scored was against Slovakia.
And that's not a good record.
Has Darren Randolph taken one, Nathan?
sit down. It's okay. Don't worry about this. We've got you.
Well, I was before the last game, the home game against Finland, you end up going down these wormholes when you start on stats. And I cannot find, and if there's a listener who can correct me on this, it's not relevant for tonight, but there's no record ever of an Irish goalkeeper saving a penalty at Lansdowne Road, ever. It's just never happened. But Darren Randolph obviously did save one this time last year against Switzerland in the game, which was a bit of a nightmare. So I think Randolph is fairly decent on that side of things, but we don't have a lot of players who are taking penalties.
Jack Byrne.
At club level. Jack Byrne, obviously, if he was on the pitch, if he makes the squad, will be in there. And Adam Ida, when he scored that hat-trick for Norwich against Preston in the FA Cup, the last of his goals for the hat-trick was a penalty.
Phil, we're going to let you go now, but before we do, give us tomorrow's headline today.
I can't come up with a quirky headline, because just my brain's not functioning right now. But I actually think Ireland will get the job done within 90 minutes. So maybe they'll go with something like, can we do it?
You know, yes, we can.
Yes, we can. Something simple like that.
It'll be either here's to you, Mr. Robinson, when Callum scores the winner. Or if it's Aaron Connolly puts us in front and Adam Eda comes off the bench and scores the winner, it'll be Kenny's kids are all right.
Or if Connolly scores the winner, which myself and Shane Hannan are predicting, King Con.
Oh, yeah.
Or it'll just be disaster. Lock cap disaster.
A long, long winter.
It didn't go according to plan.
Phil, good stuff. Thanks for that. France says, I'm a bit surprised that Ireland are favourites to beat Slovakia. I think they weren't until the news came through of all the players that Slovakia are now not going to be able to select because of COVID. Kevin says, I think three at the back would be a good choice because you can play Doherty as a wing back. He's played that at Wolves and scored goals and set them up with Egan in centre back. And Steve as a left wing back and have more options in midfield. I think we all think that we have two good wing backs and we have three good defenders and probably loads more who can fill in if injuries happen. And that might be something that allows our best midfielder to thrive. So it was really interesting hearing Vinnie Perth say everything is on the table on the basis of the players that are available when he was talking about a little bit earlier on. Stuart, I think, has sent us the most Irish Ireland supporter football tweet of all time. Keep it tight for the first 20 and see what they're about. No need to start off with wingbacks. He can change that during the game depending on how we settle. Whatever you do, don't take a
keep
risk.
Keep it tight.
See what they're about. What are Slovakia about? That is a thing that will become apparent after about 20 minutes or so. Like, I mean, just to go back to the question I put to you a moment ago, Nathan, like, I mean, the instant reaction to last night's news around Slovakia is to say, God, it's terrible and, you know, we'd prefer a level playing field. But outside of Marek Hamšík, they are missing their three most recognisable players. Like, this is up there, if not a more significant setback for an Ireland opponent as Gareth Bale missing in Cardiff 3 years ago, is it not?
Yeah, because it's right through the spine of their team as well. And it does increase the pressure a little bit because you're taking out such a talented side that, you know, the odds have already swung on this. So, yeah, there is no excuses. I think going into this, we probably thought it was a 50-50 game away from home, whereas now when they are missing so many players. But I'd imagine they're going to close ranks. They're going to do those traditional things and say, this is still that opportunity that we have to go and get ourselves to a playoff final. Let's keep it tight. Let's keep it very close. I'd be interested to see if this game is reflective of what we've seen from the rest of football since the restart. Like, maybe it ends up being a little bit more open. Like, the one thing when you watch Ireland is we don't create many chances. It's something Stephen Kenny has pointed out a few times that, you know, like, our starting 11 tonight are going to have scored very few goals between them in all likelihood. Like, probably less than 10 between the entire starting 11. But Stephen Kenny would say, but they're not missing chances. They're not actually creating chances. So is there a shackles are off, no crowd in the stadium, energy levels are right. Are we going to see something like we've seen in the Premier League where players are taking a few more chances? Players are, Callum Robinson in those positions where he scores against Chelsea can now do that in a green jersey as well. So maybe we get a slightly different game than we're used to in international football, because I'd imagine the vast majority of predictions tonight in the papers are 1-1 or 1-0 or 2-1 either way. It'd be great to get something different. It'd be great to get a game that actually gets us excited about Irish football. And there's a big opportunity here with the way of the world right now, and I think the general state of depression that the entire country is in, for the Irish team to step up now and have a final to look forward to next month in Bosnia or imagine in Northern Ireland would be a huge thing for this group of players and will give them an opportunity to sort of get themselves front and centre that they haven't had for quite a while.
It's the biggest sporting night of the year and hopefully the second biggest sporting night of the year. And given the week that we've had, I mean, it would genuinely, it would lift the mood of a lot of people anyway. Like, I hate that phrase of like the nation and all that, but in terms of lifting the mood of some people, it will actually have a material impact.
Yeah, like, come on. You're right. It's trite. It's hokey, but it's true.
It's true. Yeah, it kind of is. Like, I mean, like, I don't know, it's especially if it's back-to-back wins. And
so what? Life is hokey, said Anthony Hopkins.
All of a sudden, we might have something to look forward to next summer. Like, even if it's behind closed doors, I don't know, we're still living in a world of social distancing, and it's still a massive thing to look forward to next year. We don't get these too often. It's like, nobody needs telling them how massive this is. And still, it'll be in an empty stadium over there, so you will have the usual weirdness that goes with these empty stadium games.
Yeah, I did wonder, was that part of the reason for the sort of what feels like a very low-key build-up. Obviously, with such a crazy weekend of Premier League, that dominates probably into Tuesday. There's nobody working over at the match, so you're not getting any sort of sense on the ground. There's no supporters there. But also, what I do feel it would be a boost to everybody for Ireland to win. Ordinarily, we'd be planning. Like, we'd be thinking, where are we going next summer? Where are we getting to Bilbao? You know, booking the flights. Whereas that's not there. I don't think anybody realistically feels that we're going to have a packed Aviva Stadium next summer for these games, unfortunately.
The Basque Country has more Michelin stars per capita than any other part of the world. Think of all the stuff that we're missing out on here.
I remind myself every day of all the things I'm missing out on, Ger.
Well, that's like top of my list right now today. Right, it is 10 o'clock. Nathan, good stuff. Give me your prediction.
Ireland 2-0.
Right, that will be very, very good indeed. You can hear the game live this evening on Off the Ball on News Talk. You can get that on the OTB Sports app.
OTB AM. This is OTB Sports Radio.
The OTB Podcast Network with Virgin Media. Catch all of the UEFA Champions League and Europa League games live on Virgin Media TV.